Shall we commence our worship this morning with hymn number 687? 687. There's a friend for little children above the bright blue sky, a friend who never changes, whose love will never die. And like our friends by nature who change with changing years, this friend is always worthy the precious name he bears. And page 453 in the book, and number 687 also on the screen. Stand to sing.
Let us bow in prayer. Let us still our hearts before God this morning. Father in heaven, we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we're thankful that we're able to come into thy presence today in that precious and wonderful name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for thy presence here with us as we meet together in this thy house today. We pray that thou remember each home that is represented, each heart that is under the sound of thy word, each listener. We pray that thou wilt speak to everyone this morning. We pray that thou wilt cause every heart to be touched and every home to be touched by the power of thy word. We pray for those who need that gentle word today. We pray for the gentleness of Christ to come through the preacher this morning. The Holy Spirit will apply that word to their hearts. For those who need correction, that word will come to with tenderness and love to correct us when we have strayed, as we often do. We pray for the words of instruction to be received by us with meekness. For Lord, we know that thy word is precious, and we pray that it may be precious to us this morning. We pray for any who are listening who are not saved. We pray that even today they may meet with Christ. Think of thy word already preached to those in the prison this morning. We pray that thou wilt remember those men who listened with such attention to thy word, that thou wouldst bring them to Christ. Lord, we pray that thou wilt cause them to know the marvelous grace of God. We thank thee that the entrance of thy word giveth light. We pray that thou wilt give light to those in darkness. Bless, O God, the word in the car park tonight as again the message goes out. Remember Reverend Greenfield and myself, and we pray that thou wouldst use the word in song and in preaching tonight. And we pray that thou wilt remember this week as little ones are brought. We pray that tenderly thou wilt come to their hearts through thy servant, Lord. And we pray that thou wilt bless the organization, thy servants too, in this. And we pray that children will come, those who have already indicated, and others who maybe haven't, but we pray that they will come along. Maybe their friends will tell them, or their parents will tell other parents. We pray that thou wilt, O God, cause the word to get out. And we pray that, Lord, thou wilt speak to hearts this week. And Lord, we pray that boys and girls will be saved as a result of this week. The seed sown will germinate and spring forth and bring hearts. Remember those who are sick amongst us. Pray for healing. For those hospitalized. For those who are ill at home. We pray, O God, that thou wilt minister to them. Those, O God, who have issues of health, and even those in our midst who have those issues, and we pray that thou wilt touch them, that thou wilt encourage them. Bless our land and all its need, our nation, this island, this world, the darkness that envelops us. We pray that thou wilt come, and that thou wilt save, and that thou wilt move, that thou wilt answer prayer. Be with us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. For God's eternal glory. Amen. We'll turn to the hymn, Jesus Bids Us Shine With a Clear, Pure Light. Let's stand as we sing this hymn together. 690 in the hymn book and on the screen as well. Let's turn to the Word of God this morning. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 13. Let us hear the Word of God. The second Gospel, Mark, chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him, that's to Jesus, that he should touch them. His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his inspired and errant word to our hearts. Now, boys and girls, we've been looking over some weeks at the subject of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. And last week we came to chapters 3 and 4, where you have all those names in chapter 3 about the building of the wall. And everybody had a part to play in the building of the wall of Jerusalem. And then you remember we came and we told you about Sanballat and Tobiah and the other man, Gershon, and they were laughing and despising the servants of God. And this is what we see in this picture this morning, that they were despising those who dared to build the wall of Jerusalem. But boys and girls, as we come today to our story, we discover that there were those who were provoking the servants of God, the enemies of God, Sanballat, and he was coming from the north, and Tobiah, he was coming from the south. And of course these were big threats against the servants of God, the people of God, those who were building the wall of Jerusalem. And boys and girls, you can understand how the people would get discouraged and the people would start looking over their shoulder and saying, What's going to happen next? Am I in danger? Can we continue in this work that we're doing? And they were exhausted. They were very tired. Sometimes we get exhausted. The work gets hard. It gets harder to live for God in a world that is hostile against the Lord. And the workers prayed for help. And boys and girls, that's what we do in our situation of life. We pray to God and we ask God to help us. When there are difficult things in life, and you all will have difficult things in school and in life, maybe with some friends that you meet up with around where you live, and they're not Christians, and maybe they laugh at you because you say you're a Christian. Sometimes you can get discouraged. And even some of the people thought we should give up. 10 times the Bible indicates that there were rumors that a surprise attack was on the way against them from their enemies. But boys and girls, we discover that Nehemiah knew he must do something. You see, Nehemiah was God's servant. He was in touch with God about this situation. And he sought to protect the people. And so he put guards on the wall. The weakest places on the wall, they were guarded. He said, "Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord." That's what Nehemiah said. And boys and girls, we need not fear in our lives from day to day. Remember the Lord. He's the great and powerful God. He can do what no other can do. And boys and girls, the plan worked. News got back to their enemies that the workers were ready to deal with any attack that would come against them. You see, God is on the side of his people. And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And boys and girls this morning, fear not, because God is with you. Every step that you take, no matter where you are in life, God is with you. And his presence is your portion. And boys and girls, how important it is in our time of need to pray, as Nehemiah prayed, and to look to God in heaven to help us in our time of need. If we're not saved, to ask God to save us and ask God to come into your heart this morning to be your own and personal Savior. We're going to sing a chorus through twice, "Wide, wide is the ocean." And this speaks of the greatness of God, doesn't it? "High as the heavens above" speaks of God's great love too toward us. And we're going to sing it through twice as we keep our seats, boys and girls, and doing the actions as we sing it through. Welcome you to our service this morning. Glad to see you, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name this morning. There are baskets at the exit for your offerings. The building fund us today, and we appreciate your continual support of the work of God in this house. Do remember the series of drive-in services in the church car park tonight as we preach the word of God again. Dr. Greenfield will be there to lead the service and to minister in song. Trust you will join us. There will be community singing beforehand as well. And there are hymn sheets available. If you didn't get one last week, you can get one tonight for that. Do invite others to come and to hear God's word tonight in this way. And then the Holiday Bible Club. We've been mentioning this for many weeks. It's now upon us, the first time for a few years we've been able to have it. And we look forward again to tomorrow morning, 10:45 to 12 noon approximately. Brother Robert McConnell And we'll be along to speak to the boys and girls. If you haven't registered as yet, you haven't got around to it, well, there's still time to do that. But, of course, children who come will not be turned away, even if they haven't registered. So remember it in your prayers, if you can help out by your presence, sitting among the children, doing what you can, bits and pieces, that would be appreciated as well. Do pray for Robert as he brings the word, for Mark and Joanna as they finalize the preparations for this week. And most of all, pray that God will bless his word and your help in any way, but especially your prayers are appreciated for this week. And then Tuesday at 8 p.m., the prayer meeting and Bible study. I trust to be along to bring the Bible study and to lead the prayer meeting on Tuesday at 8. Next Lord's Day, morning prayer meeting 11, family worship 11:30, and the drive-in services continue in the church car park with singing by Naomi and a testimony from Lydia Watson. She'll be along to share her testimony next Sunday evening, and I will be bringing the word in the gospel. Do remember these services and pray for God's word as it goes forth. Remember all who are sick too, those going through treatments, who are hospitalized, who need our prayers, recovering from illnesses. Your prayers are appreciated for all of these. Remember also the installation of Reverend Stephen McRae as minister of Ballinahinch this Friday night. That meeting will take place in Lisburn at 8 p.m. Just for logistics, don't try to go through Sainfield on your route. That may be difficult as there's a parade there on Friday night. But do please, if you're going, take another route if you were thinking of going through Sainfield before going on to Lisburn. Remember that meeting, 8 p.m. I hope to be able to attend that service on Friday night in our Lisburn church. The moderator of our presbytery, Reverend John Armstrong, will be the preacher at that service. And then our church outing, Saturday the 30th, did mention this. Some people have already put their names down. Going from the church at 9, going down to Loch Gall, the Sloane House there for tea and coffee. And then, of course, there's a museum there. And then going on into Lurgan for a period for shopping. And then to Brownlow House for a meal there. And then, obviously, there'll be a video presentation of that very historic building as well. So remember that on Saturday, if you're going along, Saturday the 30th of July, if you're going along, please do put your name down and also make your choice of meal. That's important as well, that you do that as quickly as possible. Of course, our own senior citizens go free from our own church here in Ballygan. Those outside of that, adults £25, children 0 to 5 are free, and other children over 5, it's £10. So remember that, please, and do attend to that as quickly as you can so that we can finalise numbers for our church outing on Saturday the 30th of July. We commend it to you. We're going to join in the singing of another hymn. We're standing as we sing again. There is a happy land far, far away, where saints in glory stand, bright, bright as day. Oh, how they sweetly sing, worthy is our Saviour King. Loud let his praises ring, praise, praise for aye. We'll stand and sing this hymn together before we bring the Lord's word.
Thank you.
Let us all pray. Our Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention this morning to the verses we've read, or some of the verses we read from in Mark chapter 10 this morning. The subject is bringing the children to Jesus. Bringing the children to Jesus. You cannot read the New Testament without seeing the interest the Lord Jesus Christ had in the individual. The interest the Lord Jesus Christ had in the family and in family life. He spoke about marriage and the clear linkage in what he said to the Old Testament, to what was put in place at the beginning of time in the book of Genesis. You have the teaching he gave too about the husband and wife relationship. And then children. And here in the verses before us this morning in Mark 10, 13 to 16, we see the interest that the Lord Jesus Christ had in the little children. And what an example the Lord Jesus Christ has set us in every aspect of his life. He's left us an example, as Peter said, that we should follow in his steps. And here in regard to his attitude to children and in his actions toward them, we see the Savior reaching out to these little ones. Every bit as much as he reached out to adults during his earthly ministry. Not only do we see the interest that he had in children, but also the fact that he here used them as an illustration as to how adults should receive the message of the gospel. Look at verse 15. For example, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So in these verses this morning, we have important instruction as to what our attitude should be toward children and what our actions toward them should be too. That we might bring them to Jesus. Bringing children to Jesus. That is our theme this morning in this message. There are a number of things I want to draw your attention to from these verses as we consider this subject. First of all, what they did. Look at verse 13. And they brought young children to him, that is to Jesus. You see, these people wanted to bring them. They were willing to bring them. In other words, they voluntarily brought them. It indicates the burden that they had. They had a concern for their children. A spiritual concern for their children. Many parents today, I would suppose most parents, have a concern for the physical and mental well-being of their children. And that's so important, it's so vital. That the physical and mental well-being of the children are attended to. Their educational needs too, and general well-being, and day-to-day matters. But above and beyond all of this, there is the need for their spiritual well-being. That they might be brought to Jesus. Have you this burden on your heart this morning? The Bible says in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 16, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children. 2 Chronicles 20:13 again says, "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children." The context of Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 11 is that of standing before the Lord in His presence. And it says there in that verse, your little ones, your wives. There's nothing more important than that of bringing the children into the very place where they can meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to be the chief concern of all of us this morning. And as they, through this concern, were seeking that the Lord Jesus would touch them, that He would touch the children. No doubt they had heard about the Lord touching many others through His earthly ministry. Maybe even they had seen Him touch others with their own eyes. They had seen it at first hand, and they wanted Him to touch these children that they had brought. You see, they had not only a burden for these children, but they believed that the touch of Jesus would make a marked difference, would make an impression upon the lives of these children. And I'm sure that every Christian parent this morning listening would want the Lord to touch their children, would want the Lord to touch your grandchildren. Maybe even for some, their great-grandchildren and children in their family circle. And what they did here was an act of faith. They believed in the person of the Lord Jesus. They believed in His power to touch the children. And they also believed that His purpose would be wrought out in the lives of these little ones. They believed there was nothing too hard for the Lord. And with Him all things are possible, as we've read further down in the passage this morning. May we have such faith today and into the future. May we exercise this faith that is demonstrated here among these people who brought the children so long ago to Jesus. And may it be so this week for our holiday Bible club, and every time we have a Sunday school or a meeting for boys and girls, for children, that we will bring them to Jesus. What they did. But I want you to notice, secondly, how they were discouraged, because His disciples rebuked those that brought them. Verse 13 tells us. Now you would have thought that these disciples of Jesus would have encouraged this activity. Why would the disciples rebuke the people and try to keep the children away from Jesus? It seems almost unbelievable that this should be taking place. And yet it did. If you look at Mark chapter 6, verse 36, and Matthew chapter 15, first of all, Mark chapter 6, verse 36, you will see that when the people were gathered and the Lord was moved with compassion toward them, and of course the day was far spent, and the disciples said, verse 36, "Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And this was the attitude of the disciples. Send the people away. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, the 15th chapter of Matthew, verse 22. And again, here's this woman of Canaan who came to the Lord. And of course, she's crying out to the Lord for mercy. And of course, the disciples said in verse 23, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." You could cannot understand or fathom why they would be doing this. They had such a hard attitude, and yet these were disciples of Christ who heard his word and who seen his works, and yet they were saying, in this instance too, keep the children away. They rebuked those that brought them. They probably thought they were doing the Lord a favor by helping, protecting his time or conserving his strength. I don't really know exactly what they were thinking. In other words, they didn't seem to consider these children to be important. And their attitude was strange, because Jesus had already taught them to receive the children in his name and be careful not to cause any of them to stumble. In Mark chapter 9, verse 36 and following verses, we are not to offend one of these little ones. Matthew 18 teaches us verses 6 and 10. If we offend one of them, it's better that a millstone were hanged about her neck and we were cast into the sea. That's how strongly the Lord put it. And once again, we discover here that these disciples forgot what the Lord had taught them. And in doing what they did, they discouraged those who were bringing their children to Jesus. They were putting an obstacle or a stumbling block in their way. They were hindering this work for the Lord. And sometimes we will get discouraged in doing this work by people who should know better. You would have thought the disciples should have known better, and they should have. Those who should be encouraging us in service for Christ will discourage, and sometimes that happens. But always remember, the best of men are men at the best. And despite the many discouragements and the manner of these discouragements from these men involved, and sometimes it happens from one woman also, to keep our eyes upon the Savior. Keep our eyes upon the Savior. And keep on doing the work that we have been doing and we have set out to do, are involved in presently for the Lord. When we keep our eyes on the Lord, then we will not be diverted from the task that we have set out to do, no matter how many the discouragements are. Maybe you're discouraged. Lift your eyes to the Lord this morning. Keep on going on for him. How they were discouraged. But I want you to see, thirdly, how the Lord was displeased. Look at verse 14. When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. The thought is, he was deeply displeased. He was deeply displeased. The thought is here that the Lord openly rebuked his disciples for standing in the way of these parents who are bringing their children to Christ. And when we stand in the way as an obstacle to those who are seeking to do the Lord's will and the Lord's work, we will earn the Lord's displeasure. The Lord was openly annoyed and angry with his disciples. Never stand in the way to hinder God's work being done. And sometimes the Lord has to rebuke us for displaying a wrong attitude. And that's exactly what he did here to those who were closest to him, his disciples. And such was his displeasure that he said here, and notice the words in verse 14, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And he directed his disciples to allow these people to bring their children to Christ. And such words indicated to them how wrong they were in forbidding them in the first place. He urged them to be welcoming to these little children. Suffer them, or permit them to come. Don't hinder them in coming. Keep the door open for them to come. Don't put a barrier in the way. Don't discourage them, but rather encourage them to come. You see, the Lord is seeking to put his disciples right on this matter. And sometimes he has to put us right, because we get things wrong. We all do at times. And we have to be corrected. And the Lord is seeking to correct his disciples here, so that these children, these little children, would not be turned away that are brought to him. How precious in the sight of the Lord is every one of these little ones. And though displeased with them in the midst of this clear, there is a clear directive to them and to us today to welcome the parents as they bring their children to Jesus. To welcome the parents who will come in with their little ones under the sound of the word. You will notice too what the Lord declared, verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. You see, these children are a pattern or an example. In what ways, you may ask, are they a pattern or an example? First of all, in their humble dependence on others, in then their receptivity, their acceptance of themselves and their position in life. You see, a child enjoys much, but can explain very little. Children, by and large, live by faith, and by faith they accept their lot, trusting others to care for them and to see them through those early years of life. And so here is an example. And my friend, if you are to be saved, you must also take that pathway of faith. For the Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith. You must take the path of the little child in order that you might enter into the kingdom of God. Will you take that path, dear person, this morning? For without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please him. Take that path of faith this morning and come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a little child and be saved. So there's an example here. We enter God's kingdom by faith like little children, helpless, unable to serve or to save ourselves, totally dependent on the mercy and grace of God. And that's how it is with all of us. And then, of course, enjoy God's kingdom by faith. Well, that's how we enter into it, by faith, and we enjoy it by faith. Believing that the Father loves us and will care for our daily needs. What does a child do when he or she has a hurt or a problem? They take it to their father or to their mother. They run there for solace and for comfort. What an example it is for us to follow in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus wants us to be childlike, not to be childish. How we can learn so much from what Jesus says about the little children, about their simple faith. May God give to you this day that simple faith, that saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Lord declared. But see how the Lord delighted in these children. He delighted in them. Look at verse 15. He said, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in. Then verse 16, and he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. You see the tenderness of Jesus. Jesus never pushed them away. He was tender in his approach. The tender heart of the Lord Jesus Christ toward the little children. And if you're a little boy or girl this morning, God has a tender heart towards you. He loves you this morning, just as he loves people of all ages in mankind. And he reaches out with that tenderness. We see it again and again in his earthly ministry. He stopped as he heard the cry of the blind man. He stopped and he looked up as he saw the little man up the tree, Zacchaeus. He wept over Jerusalem. He shed tears at the grave of his friend Lazarus. And so many other occasions we could mention this morning, the tender heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is seen. Oh, that we might have that tender heart this morning toward the little children. The tenderness of Christ. You'll notice also the taking of Christ. He took them up in his arms. It wasn't mere words with Jesus. There were actions too. It wasn't only the right attitude he had, but he displayed also the right kind of action. Oh, the love of Christ, how wonderful it is. We often sing those words in our hymn book, there is no love like the love of Jesus. And it goes on to say, Jesus' love, precious love, boundless and full and free. And that's love that was manifested here in the life and ministry of Christ, in his earthly life as he walked upon the scene of time, is still extended today to boys and girls across this world, to your children this morning, to your grandchildren, to the children that you see where you live. The men and women of the future are the boys and girls of today. Jesus, he acted in tenderness. And my friend, he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them, and he touched them. You see, this is what they desired. They brought young children, verse 13, that he should touch them. And now it happens. Their exercising of faith is rewarded. He puts his hands upon them. What a touch. The Lord Jesus. There is power in that touch. And again, there was that healing power manifested in the touch of Christ in the human body. But there is too that spiritual touch, that healing of the soul, that sin-sick soul making it every whit whole. May he touch your children. May he touch the boys and girls of our neighborhood. May he touch men and women. May he touch this week boys and girls in our holiday Bible club. That's why we hold it. Not merely for a coming together of children, but that Jesus might touch them. And that Jesus might become real in their lives. And that Jesus might be their Savior. How life-changing that touch is. And then I want you to see not only the touch of Christ here, but the triumph of Christ. He blessed them. He blessed them. You see, Jesus brings to boys and girls and to men and women too the blessing, the greatest blessing of all. And what is the greatest blessing of all? It is his so great salvation, the blessing of eternal life. It is only Jesus that can bring this blessing. No water of baptism or the hands of a prelate or a priest or a minister can bring that. Only our great high priest can bring it. And he is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this morning, here's the triumph of Christ. He blessed these children. The triumph of his grace in the lives of boys and girls. Bringing the children to Jesus. That's the mission of the church, friend. Mission of the church. To bring people of all ages, but included in that is to bring the children to Jesus. That is what will make the difference in their life. Oh yes, you can educate people. But friend, education will not save children. It will help them, no doubt, to get a decent job and to do various things in life, and it has its place. But the most important thing is to get them to Jesus. That's the business of this church. May we be clear about our vision and about our mission. And may the Lord be pleased to help us to bring the children to Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we pray this morning that thou will bless the children of our church and the children who will be reached this week, that many will be brought to Christ, that he might touch them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing the words of number 700 in the book, and it's on the screen. Around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand, children whose sins are all forgiven, a holy, happy band. And we'll stand after the introduction and sing this hymn together. Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.